Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome into the show, and it's here. We got a playoff game that I think we all expect to win, which, depending on how you approach these things, can be a little uncomfortable because you're on the road, but you are playing a team you think you should win. And if you look at how the playoffs have gone so far, road teams have been pretty good in the playoffs. Outside of what we saw from the Chargers last night, we've had good football games to watch. And the road teams, we've got the 49ers, we've got the Bills who won games. Of course, the Packers blew a big lead in a game they probably should have won, but that's just what the Bears do. I don't know what this Bears run is, but they're the most dangerous team in football when they're trailing. It's never over. They proved that again on Saturday. We're not going to look at the numbers because that's not what we do here. But I imagine the Bears' opponents have had a 90-win probability over half of the times the Bears have come back and won a football game. That's just how it's gone for them. And now they are one game away. Of course, they got to play the Rams, but one game away from getting to an NFC title game in Ben Johnson's first year. Caleb Williams in his second year with the Bears. So these playoffs have shown the margins aren't very big, and home teams and their home field advantage don't mean much. The Texans are fighting against history and trends. We talked about it. First, the Jags, who had won 8 in a row, done for. Texans, 9 in a row. We'll see. Long winning streaks going into the playoffs in the last decade have not led to much success. As far as the number of times or games in a row the Jags and the Texans have won, streaks of that length haven't led to playoff success. Let's hope to buck that trend. On the road, in cold weather, I saw someone tweet out, because I think it was just a Pittsburgh fan, saying, look at the weather here. CJ Stroud is 0-something in weather under 30 degrees, and it was snowing, blustery. In fact, it's supposed to get warmer in Pittsburgh today. It should be over 30. Should be right around freezing, but no snow, no wind. So other than dealing with frigid temperatures, the Texans won't have anything as far as inclement weather. So it's all kind of lining up to play the game they play, run the football, play defense. I'm not saying run the football well, just run the football. Give your offensive line a break. Force Highsmith and Watt to defend against the run. Of course, Cam Hayward's there as well. And take your shots, because that Steelers secondary, at least the last time we saw him, gave up explosives to the Ravens in the fourth quarter, busted coverages. You saw plenty of guys looking around, not knowing where they should be or where their teammate was and why they weren't in the right spot. So we will see if the Texans can take advantage of that or have the Steelers kind of buttoned up. And the Texans have that problem too. At least that's what DeMeco Ryans thinks. Now, some of that can be attributed to having Smith in the game at times, Tremont Smith instead of Kamari Lassiter, who is going to be back. But the Texans have given up explosives over the last 3 weeks or so. So that's something you need to watch out for. No easy touchdowns for the Steelers. Because when you start to look at the game and what type of defense you have, how do the Steelers score 20? I think first of 20 wins. But the playoffs, at least what we've seen outside of the the Chargers and the Patriots. The playoffs get a little squirrely in the fourth quarter. We see points coming out of nowhere. I mean, the Bills and the Jaguars are playing a tight defensive game until the fourth quarter where no one can get stops. I talked about how the Bears came back. And the 49ers were able to put together a touchdown drive to take the lead. And then, of course, because that just seems how it goes now, the Eagles drove down the field until they could not convert on a fourth and long. Even in the Rams-Panthers game, that game turned into a shootout where the Panthers scored late and then the Rams went right down the field and scored late. So we've seen a lot of that. I think much like Chargers and Pats, I think this game will be an outlier. I don't foresee a moment where we go from, man, defensive battle to, huh, look at that. The quarterbacks are really dicing up these defenses. Certainly not the Texans defense. I could see the Steelers blowing some coverages. They don't have a good pass defense. They don't have really a good defense overall. It's their pass rushers and the fact that they still have that logo on their helmet that makes you think they can play good defense at times. But that's not a thing for them right now.
I will say the logo is worth, like, I don't know, 5 spots in the defensive ratings. Just like if they're the 20th best defense in the league. Wearing the Pittsburgh Steelers uniforms, that bumps you up a little bit. Aura.
It at least makes you think that at any time they can come together and put out a good defensive performance. You know, they got names, of course, Watt and Highsmith. Jalen Ramsey's still playing some hybrid safety corner stuff.
That's about it.
Cam Hayward still can be difficult to move at times. Of course,
Joey Porter
Jr.'s there, so it's a name you recognize. But as a unit, you know, they're dependent on guys they've picked up in the middle of the year, and that goes for offense too. Adam Thielen tries to make plays for them. I say tries. Didn't say he makes them, but he tries to make plays for them. There's another – was it the guy they picked up from the Pats? Is that Kyle Duggar? Is that the name I'm thinking of? Either way, the Pittsburgh Steelers have not been whatever standard they set like in the – like 10 years ago defensively, because they've not been great defensively for years now. But they're not up to that level, and it played out that way this year, so they have tried to supplement some of their problems with guys who weren't good enough to stick on other rosters but have had names. Yeah, Kyle Duggar's there. Chuck Clark, the former Raven and Jet, is on the roster. Jabril Peppers is rolling around. You know Jabril Peppers is late at when he's wearing 40. The number 40 tells you Jabril Peppers, remember cool Jabril Peppers got the at Michigan, of course, with the pass and other places. And was it Cleveland as well? Jabril Peppers wearing the number 40 because he was an AA lad, a late at. Asante Samuel Jr. is on their roster. A lot of guys who we've heard of but aren't playing at the level that they were when we were actually focusing on them in the earlier stages of their career. So they got guys. Not sure they're good. And the Texans.
They have guys. Do they have dudes, though? That's the question.
They have
Texans have dudes.
At this point, they got names that are Jags, particularly in that secondary. I mean, Jalen Ramsey is, at this point, maybe Jag plus.
I think he's like wily, like veteran smart to get a little bit more out of.
He's good enough that when things go poorly, he's not the one people point at generally. Yeah. It's all the other guys, even though he hasn't been great. But it's a unit they cobble together to make it through. And, you know, they win the division, but it's a unit that has shown some leakage, so you hope there's just enough there that the Texans can put together some explosives. I don't foresee the Texans putting together 11-play drives. It's just not what they do. I think short fields would benefit them greatly, and then maybe you get a guy behind some confused Steelers secondary, a couple secondary members. And what you're looking for the Texans when you think about them scoring today or tonight is a couple Steelers looking at each other with their arms outstretched going, where were you? That's what I hope for, because if that happens, I think you can get to 20, which I think is the number that you have to shoot for to win this game.
Yeah. On the sideline, Jalen Ramsey like going like this.
Yeah. Looking at the
iPad
or the Windows, whatever they have, Surface.
Oh,
is that what they use?
Sorry.
Come on.
Windows Touch Plus.
Whatever the Windows iPad ripoff is, whatever it is. I don't know which one came for first. Whichever they're using, I think it might be the Surface. I need a lot of Steelers looking at that. Maybe someone slams it to the ground, whatever it might be.
Oh, yeah. Jalen Ramsey, like, dismissive, like, tossing it. Like, that would be good. In slow-mo.
Something.
As Troy Aikman's just like, this Steelers defense just hasn't been on the same page all night yet, Joe, and it's a really tough one.
And then Joe snarkily will say, all right, Troy, enough, but who's the Dolphins' next head coach? Aren't you in on that, too? Since you got their GM hired, aren't you in on that, too? So, yeah, ugly game, maybe. Are we going to end the playoff weekend with a whimper? Because we started out with bangers, and then by the time Sunday night rolled around, Pats versus Chargers, this game stinks.
Yeah, it really mellowed out.
Yeah, I mean, it slowly got there because at least the Eagles 49ers was compelling. We had a couple last drives to end it, but that game wasn't all that entertaining to watch. And then we got the ultimate, well, just like me, I'm tired of football, and so were the Chargers and the Pats. Let's just get through this and see who wins.
Sim to end.
Yeah.
Sim to end.
So are we going to get something like that, or are we going to ramp it back up to get a banger? I don't foresee these two teams playing a banger. I'm not saying it won't be close. I just don't know that we're going to get a lot of compelling things happening other than, you know, it's playoff football, so it's always more important than anything else. But as far as the actual game itself, I think it's going to be ugly.
Or the, you know, 28-point fourth quarter that we got.
We might get a 9-point fourth quarter or something like that. Yeah, I don't know how many dramatic moments that are based off the actual play other than the scenario that it's a close playoff game we're
going
to see.
Just two people at the top of their game going back and forth. That's right. I'm talking Kaimi Fairbairn and Chris Boswell.
Chris Boswell missed an extra point last week, so we'll see. And it is a tough place to kick. The kicker in question, Boswell, has been called a psychopath by his coach because of how well he does in that environment. Kaimi Fairbairn, who's been great this year, made a lot of kicks.
Not a psychopath.
At least not that we know of.
Okay. Has not been called a psychopath.
Certainly, his head coach has never called him a psychopath. All he does is really compliment Kaimi in ways you generally compliment people. I mean, I know Tomlin considered that a compliment, but it's generally not the case. I don't need Kaimi to be a psychopath. In fact, I would prefer that Kaimi doesn't really take the field except for extra points and kickoffs, but I know that preference isn't going to happen. No. He's probably going to be on the field for big-time kicks tonight. That's just how it's going to play out.
More or less than 2.5 field goals for Kaimi Fairbairn.
Okay. How many scoring possessions will the Texans embark on? I think over. I think he's going to make at least three kicks tonight.
Yeah. I also feel like this is a type of game where if I'm D'Amico Ryans, there's not a lot of times where you can win playoff games by kicking field goals.
Yeah, I'm not going for it.
I kind of think you can win.
As long as Kaimi shows that he's fine
in the
pregame.
Weather.
Yeah. I'm just taking field goals. We have seen what has happened when teams don't. Like, we'll get into the NFL weekend. The Jags, of course. And I got to apologize for Friday's show, mostly because of my exhaustion, because of the Thursday night Canes of Miss Ole Miss game. But we did not properly set the narratives on how quarterback slander was going to go today, considering on how things went. We did not set that up. We had Herbert. We had Lawrence.
Yeah.
We had Bryce Young. A lot of polarizing quarterbacks were playing, and we did not properly set up how things were going to go.
Even Caleb Williams.
What was he going to be in his first playoff game? A lot of things we did not touch on, and I take the blame because I still had visions of Carson Beck running in the end zone. So that's on me.
Okay.
So we will talk about the narratives that were either confirmed or tossed aside by these playoff performances from the quarterbacks. CJ Stroud's on the list too. He's less polarizing outside of Houston, which is interesting. I think he's more polarizing in town than he is out of town. I think for the most part, people outside of Houston still think very highly of him. They will blame the environment for it. It's much like what Herbert catches nationally, where as far as the defenders, there are more Herbert detractors certainly than CJ. But Herbert defenders will point to all the surrounding things for his issues, from offensive line play to lack of receivers. And you know what? Watching that game yesterday, I'm one of the bigger Herbert, get that guy out of my face types. I don't know if I can blame him for what he's got to deal with, considering the lack of options he has. He missed some throws that you would hope he would make. But overall, that Chargers offense is trash.
Yeah. It's what I said last week, where I was like, he's probably low-key pissed off he has to play in this game. He's like, Can we go back to six playoff teams? Like, what? Why do I have to?
His left hand.
Why have to put my body back on the line for them?
And I bet we'll find out how hurt he is once the season's over with that left hand stuff. I'm sure there'll be some type of surgery or something. Like, we'll
2 o'clock this afternoon, we'll probably get the
Justin Herbert's going under the knife.
Yeah,
we'll probably hear about that. So, a lot to get to. Narratives either confirmed or disavowed, depending on how you felt about a guy. We'll talk certainly more about the Texans tonight against the Steelers. We'll also get into the trouble with the Rockets. We had the host of Rocket Power on, and it wasn't a good weekend. Denny Avia didn't have a great night on Friday night, but it didn't matter. They still lost that one. And then last night, they lose to the Kings. There are some numbers for Jabari Smith that aren't great. There are some this is the thing where you go, well, at least we don't have to play bad teams in the playoffs, because the Rockets do not fare well against some of the worst teams in the West or just overall. And they're in a spot I don't think many people thought they would be this late into the year, a play-in team as it stands now. So get into the Rockets and their troubles over the last week and a half or so. More Texans, more certainly NFL stuff to get to. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. And big spender in the portal. Look at the Longhorns saying, hey, we got money too, Texas Tech. Longhorns spending a lot of cash to supplement their roster. So we'll talk some college football news. And we'll certainly talk about a game we didn't have an opportunity to talk about because it was on Friday night. The Indiana Hoosiers, one game away from a national title as they dismantle Oregon, beat them for the second time this year. So a lot to get to. We're just getting started. We'll be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show, live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Del Olalea.
I would imagine this would be another in the column of all your devices are listening to you, because I did not type in Justin Herbert at any point in the last, let's just say, 3 hours into my out into Twitter. And we were talking about him and how I actually kind of felt bad for him. I may be one of few, just going by what happened when I went to my For You page. All the first like five were about Justin Herbert and how he failed. Kurt Warner, who breaks down quarterbacks, talked about all the missed opportunities and put some of that on Herbert, his impatience in the pocket. So I think the general NFL public, the narrative on him has changed as far as, or has stayed consistent on, he's getting babied by all the let's just say, the people who make their money talking about the NFL and podcasts and other spots who have been big proponents of Justin Herbert.
The streets aren't as for Justin Herbert. The industry plant Justin Herbert?
If we want to put it that way, yes. He is not.
He doesn't have the people going.
He's not for the, Justin Herbert may not be for the streets in multiple ways, but the streets don't think of him as one of them.
He's not a legend among the fan base.
No, people don't even know where Justin Herbert's from. He says he's from New York, but no one even knows any place he's been in New York. That's what he is. While the people who are supposed to be the intelligentsia of NFL conversations love him, supercomputer, all that stuff. But the streets, nah, not down. It was just another example of a failure in a big moment. One of the lines that I saw was that Joe Burrow's defenses have created nine turnovers for him during one of his runs. And people are like, well, look, the defense played better than it has for Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert's defenses have created 10 turnovers in the games he's played, and he hasn't won one of them. So things on a Monday after a game like last night, where your defense clearly gives you a chance to win and you don't come through, it's a tough one for him, even with the two tackles being hurt and no real separator other than Ladd McConkey, who fell off the back part of the year. So let's hope for none of that conversation regarding CJ.
Yeah. I don't think
it'll get there, though.
Yeah, he's not really like a – to me, it's even less that like national media like thinks highly of him. It's more just like he's not in the zeitgeist, you know?
It's true.
He's not like a hot button issue. He's just kind of like, I think everyone's like, yeah, he's solid,
pretty
good starting quarterback.
Yeah. The stat that Justin Herbert people, if they're still out there, won't like that's out there, that Juwan Jennings has thrown as many touchdown passes in the playoffs as Justin Herbert.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking, even when it was like, whatever, what was it? Was it 19-3?
Whatever. 16-3?
16-3. After the touchdown by New England, I was like, Justin Herbert kind of needs a touchdown drive, even if it's meaningless, just to help the numbers, just to help to keep that from being a stat.
You got to lose another playoff game.
Just get a touchdown drive.
Throw
on
more
board.
Touchdown passes than the 49 receiver that everyone hates. Isn't he the one that people say is disrespectful? Was it Shelby Harris who said he was disrespectful?
Some people deserve to get smacked. Yeah. He said,
People don't like him very much. And now, just depending on who you are, Jim Harbaugh's catching it for putting shackles on Justin Herbert. Greg Roman's involved in that too.
You know it's bad when the OC gets blamed.
Yeah.
you know your quarterback really, really bleeped the bed. When it's like, this is all Greg Roman's fault.
Greg Roman's had a history. People blamed him for Lamar's struggles back when he was with the other Harbaugh. So the combination of Greg Roman and a Harbaugh now catching the heat for people who think Justin Herbert simply not being given the right opportunities.
Can we just go like, he went from having the best tackle combination to the league to when they did the Sunday night football intros, he had like multiple guys that were like 38th or lower out of 41. It really just seems to me that easy. That it's like,
we could, yes, that would be a reasonable approach to this, except that people will take note of what happened against the Texans last year.
That was bad.
And then being up by how many points because the Jags and blowing
that was also bad.
So when you throw them all together,
I don't think last night added.
I said that earlier.
I think when you watch the two drives and you're like, this guy has no shot.
I said that early that I actually felt bad for him, but when you top the first two reasonable reasons to blame him on, and then you throw in, oh, he only scored 3 points in a playoff game, it all comes together.
Yeah, this is.
I think people are sick of listening to the excuses for Herbert. No one wants to hear he had two tackles out, even though it's the right thing to talk about.
This is where I'm like, Justin Herbert should have just sat out. He should have opted out.
The man's playing with one arm, at least one hand.
It would have been better for him if they missed the playoff to 48-year-old Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, if there was a...
That actually would have been better.
If the Colts hadn't fallen apart, it'd be better for Justin Herbert's reputation. You're right about that.
Or if there's just six playoff teams, not seven.
Well, sorry. Sorry, Justin. It's part of the deal. And can't get around it. Now he's going to have to deal with it all offseason, so the Chargers. Let's get to Eric here. What's up, Eric?
Hey guys, how y'all doing today? Yeah, can we put the greatest comeback ever game to rest on with the Oilers since the Packers blew that lead against the Bears? And also, did that big brother talk from CJ Stroud to Caleb help him last year become the great quarterback he is today? And are they punishing the mega lover Harbaugh brothers because they love mega? And Abigail Die rocks. I'll hang up a listen.
I don't know how John getting fired and Jim losing to the Patriots has anything to do with their approach to politics. And I'm questioning, why am I addressing that seriously? That's on me. Apologies, everyone. That's a mistake. He got me there. That's on me. As far as all the other stuff, did CJ's big brother talk? No, I don't think it has affected Caleb Williams. I think the Bears are on a remarkable run. It's hard to actually take them seriously, considering how they're winning games. They were down 21-3 at the half. They scored 25 points in the fourth quarter. They were still, by the way, I said they were down 21-3 at the half, which is correct. Going into the fourth quarter, it was still 21-6, and they still broke off 25 points to win that game. Caleb Williams' gaudy passing numbers, but he was 24-48 with two picks, too, along with two touchdowns. I mean, the rating was 71.6. So the overall game wasn't great. Ben Johnson probably should answer the some questions. At least he would have, if not for the comeback. All the times he went forward on fourth down on his own side of the field, he was so concerned about the Packers scoring because of how they started. But he gave them short fields, and yet you got the coaching mistakes. At least you'd see it that way because you didn't get the fourth downs. You got the two turnovers from your quarterback, short fields for the Packers, and at the end of the night, one of the best wins in the last 20 years for the Bears. Because not only did they win a playoff game after being down 21-3 at the half, it was against the Packers of all teams. Just Jordan Love threw for 4 touchdowns.
I was going to say, it's somehow even a crazier comeback because the Packers scored in the fourth quarter with like 6 minutes left.
Yeah.
Like they scored
to go
a touchdown.
2 scores, right? They went up 27-16.
Yeah. No, normally in these comebacks, it's because one team just like throws in reverse, starts turning the ball over.
Sure.
Packers didn't really do that. They actually got a few bounces to go their way.
Yeah, McManus did miss a field goal late, but even with that, they would have only been up by 6. Of course, it did give the Bears good field position. They went down the field and scored.
Yeah, and it's more that they could have kicked the field goal on that last drive instead of...
Yeah, instead of having to go for a touchdown.
Instead of having to go for it.
Jordan Love couldn't find anyone open, finally just threw it up in desperation, and it fell incomplete.
But it wasn't like the 28-3 comeback where it's like everything went wrong for Atlanta. And that's only how... It was like, no, the Packers, like, they threw it to the offensive lineman who fumbled it in the most hilarious way possible.
And still kept the football.
Yeah, they kept the football after that. Christian Watson touchdown play. Like, there's a bunch of stuff where it's like... This is really weird, but it's still like kind of fine. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you can't give Caleb Williams that. The Bears snapped the ball over Caleb Williams' head. Luckily, they false started.
Yeah,
to give him another chance to convert.
Simply has not mattered. The Bears just find a way. And as far as the question about whether it wipes away Oilers Bills, no, of course not. For one, the Oilers game was still a bigger deficit that the Bills came back from. And a lot of that stuff is personal or to the teams that are playing or the fans that are watching. In Green Bay, yes, this one will surpass Oilers-Bills because it happened to them.
Yeah.
But ask an Oilers fan, do you feel any better? If those still exist, I guess they do. Do you feel any better now that the Packers blew a game or the Falcons blew a game?
Ask Lance. Let's go ask Lance.
No.
Hey, Lance.
Does he feel better?
30 years after the fact?
The Bears did that to the Packers? Of course not.
No. I mean, the Packers honestly have, like, they had the Seattle NFC Championship game.
Yeah, they've had worse things happen to them in bigger situations. And, of course, they've got their own Super Bowl win as well. So it won't erase anything. It'll just go down in Packers lore as a disaster, which led people to wondering whether LaFleur would keep his job. Adam Schefter's reporting this morning that Matt LaFleur and the Packers are working on trying to keep him as their head coach. So that, I guess, if things don't work out, that would be another giant name on the board for a potential head coaching vacancy. Doesn't look like that's going to be the case. The reporting right now is as far as Harbaugh, because Eric mentioned it. This is something serious we can talk about as far as a Harbaugh is concerned, as opposed to what he brought up. Right now, Harbaugh is expected to be focusing on 4 teams, the Giants and the Dolphins among them. I guess we'll see how the Jackson Dart film that he watched, because that was what they said. He would watch the film of some of the quarterbacks for the teams that are in play, and that would help him make his decision.
That's a first for me, hearing that like the free agent coach is like actively watching, like having that report that he's like, I'm going to do some homework on Jackson Dart before I think about taking this job. You know, like I guess we always assume there's some of that goes into it, but just to hear like the update is that John Harbaugh is going to watch film of Jackson Dart and Quinn Ewers, the two quarterbacks that he's going to take.
I don't know
over.
That he mentioned Quinn Ewers. Cam Ward was the other one that was mentioned.
Okay, Quinn, Cam, and Jackson Dart, the big three.
So Giants, Dolphins, Titans, and Falcons are the 4 teams people consider to be the real teams that are in for John Harbaugh and who he might consider. Because normally it is a coach will watch film, but you're selling yourself to the team. Now, with Harbaugh's team selling themselves to him.
But I've only heard it in the at the podium at the introductory press conference where it's like, I watched film of Jackson Dart and I was blown away. I couldn't wait to get my hands on him type of thing. You never hear it beforehand. Now we can like speculate. It's like, well, if he takes the Dolphins job, that's like a direct reflection on what he thinks about Jackson Dart, where he's like watching Jackson Dart. He's like,
Cam Ward.
Finish a game, Jackson Dart.
Yeah. He had his injury issues.
Yeah,
so.
Cam Ward. There's five throws a game where I'm like, what? Did you press the wrong button on the controller?
We'll see what he does. Those interviews, I guess, will begin in earnest this week as all those teams have to get their, let's just say, interviews out of the way that fall in line with NFL rules. The ones where you have to interview minority candidates and then pretend like you're giving them a real shot when you actually just want Harbaugh as your coach. Those have to be done too.
Yeah.
So it won't be Harbaugh hired by Wednesday, it looks like, because I don't know if all those teams have done the requisite, hey, we swear we're giving you a real shot.
I saw interviews. I think it was the Titans tweet out the graphic of it always blows me away that teams just tweet out like a graphic of a coach. Like,
yeah,
we talked to this guy.
The Dolphins did with Clint Kubiak.
Yeah, the Titans had one where this is 7 head coaching interviews. They just tweet out the graphic of who they've talked to. And it's Lou Anarumo, Steve Spagnuolo. So, boom, got 2 Italians. They're good.
I don't know if that fits the profile of what the NFL's looking for. But, yes, it is 2 Italians.
Jim Nagy, Vance Joseph – or not Jim Nagy, Matt Nagy. Vance Joseph, Stefanski, Mike McCoy. Got to give Mike McCoy
and Mike
a shot.
McDaniel would qualify as a minority candidate, right?
And Jason Garrett, who I think as a redhead, also.
I'm serious, considering what we know that Mike McDaniel's father is black. Would he qualify? Because you have to interview 2 outside minority candidates before you can make any hire. So you can't just interview one of your assistants to get past the Rooney Rule. So I'm wondering how the NFL classifies a Mike McDaniel interview.
Has to count.
Yeah, I think he would count despite people being surprised by the fact that his dad's black. I think he will qualify.
The rule isn't that you have to look black. The rule is that you actually are.
Like, I mean, in America, that's the rule, but I don't know if it's the rule
in
the NFL.
Non-passing.
Yeah, I don't believe that's written in the bylines. It just has to be proven. And, of course, minority.
Jason Kidd, get him out of here. But, oh, wait, what?
And, of course, minority isn't exclusively to black. I mean, Ron Rivera, if he was up for a job, would count along with others. But I think the Titans are.
Lou Anarumo, yep.
I don't know about that, whether Italian counts within the NFL's policies. Who knows? Either way.
Maybe if it's more, you know, John Granato, that would count.
If the Italian says I'm dark meat, then he qualifies. It's not my quote.
I don't know. I haven't read the bylines. We need Andrew Brandt on this.
I'm going to go down there and talk to Lance. He's an NFL guy and see what it says. All right. We'll get to Gary when we come back. If you want to talk about anything, as you can tell, you're more than welcome to. We'll get into the Rockets issues as well because it was an ugly weekend in Portland and then in Sacramento, and Ime Udoka is not happy. The Rockets, currently a play-in team. Didn't foresee that coming, so we'll get to that. Oh, by the way, Alpi's back. He came back earlier than we thought. Didn't help against Sacramento, so a lot of Rocket stuff to get to. Your calls as well. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Listening to the Del Olalea Show, live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Del Olalea.
Let's get to Gary here, and then we'll talk some Rockets. Shingun was back, nowhere near 100%. They lose in Sacramento. We'll hear from the coach. He did not mince words over the weekend about how his team's playing, and maybe rightfully so. There's some pushback from fans about Ime himself. There is the conversation about whether he and his, or lack thereof, offensive philosophy is a good thing for the Rockets. But hey, are they just struggling, or do we have real systemic issues with them? They are going through a stretch where they're shooting the 3 ball historically awful. That's not helping. But we'll get to that in a little bit. Let's get to Gary. He wants to talk Indiana, Miami. What's up, Gary?
Hey, guys, I'm probably the most in-depth caller you guys have when I rock the mic. But with that set aside, the reason I'm in Indiana is going to beat Miami, and I'm pulling for Miami. But the reason is this Maurice Clarett. Let me just take it back. When he wanted to enter the NFL draft, the NFL, he was a little young. And you know, they were talking about safety and what have you and everything. Now I'm going to tie that in with Indiana and Miami. You guys probably know, but most of your callers may not know, Indiana's average age of 5 and 6 year college students is the same as that as the Green Bay Packers. Meaning that, you know, that's like a hotbed. You know, if you don't make the NFL, there's no G League or what a USL League. You can stay in college and you can pay. And for those who want to pursue NFL aspiration, that 5 and 6 year player, while they're at Indiana, they can get a coin there and then sharpen their skills and maturity. And then like that Denver quarterback, and then hopefully get drafted. That's their last ditch effort. So because of age, a 5 and 6 year college student, stronger than an 18 or 19 year old student, and that's the Maurice Clarett effect. But hey, they've cornered the market. They're picking the guys that are older, that a bunch of, they, like the coach called them, his own coach said that they were misfits. Well, that's why, because they're 27 and 28 years old playing against a bunch of kids.
Thank you, Gary. Love the confidence in yourself. I don't know if anyone wants to compete for the title of most, what did he say? In-depth caller?
In-depth.
And caller that we get. I'm not sure if anyone wants to challenge that. If not, you're the...
I feel like Wood, just off the top of my head, Wood normally comes with some knowledge.
Sure. But Gary has a title.
Yeah.
Self-proclaimed at this point.
We'll Eric, La Salsa.
La Salsa, of course. We'll see if anyone pushes back. As far as Indiana's age, they are older. That has been a talking point. You hear a lot about how buttoned up they are. They don't make mistakes. You can't make mistakes. You know, I would agree when it comes to, you know, if you're Oregon, you can't turn the ball over three times inside your own 25-yard line, one of them being a pick six if you expect to win the game.
Don't throw a pick six on the first play.
Yeah, and then when you respond with the touchdown to tie it up, don't pull an RPO where your running back, who's supposed to be in the portal but can't because all your other running backs are injured, hits your quarterback on the elbow and he drops a football and fumbles it. So while I commend Indiana for what they did to Alabama and Oregon, I don't think it's very insightful to say, hey, if you make mistakes against Indiana, you're going to get beat. Yeah, you know what? On national title day next Monday, if Miami turns the ball over three times inside their own 30 in the first 20 minutes of game time, yeah, they're going to get their ass kicked because that's how you get your ass kicked in any football game.
Or if Miami drops four interceptions like they did against Ole Miss, like if they're going to play, in my mind, just the dumb, you know, penalties and, well, maybe not the penalties, maybe not. We'll see. But the, like, dropped interceptions, the taking the, taking themselves out of field goal range or putting themselves behind the sticks early, I feel like Miami's going to be a little bit cleaner than they were against Ole Miss. But if they aren't, just turn this game off already.
I mean, I don't know that Indiana will bludgeon them by 30 points like they did to Alabama and Oregon.
But they're not going to be in a position to win the game.
To win the game if they turn the ball over. I mean, it's pretty simple. And I think you could probably say the same thing if Trinidad Chambliss, the picks that he nearly threw were caught. Ole Miss isn't in the game.
Yeah.
It's just how it goes. And while Indiana should be favored, it was funny. People have been pointing out that if you took this game and put it on the neutral field before the season began, Miami would be like a 6.5-point favorite. That's just the... Now we've had a long season. Things certainly changed.
15 data points.
Yeah, it's the same way of saying, hey, this is the same team who lost to SMU and Louisville. No, it's not. They played 7 games since that point. It's not the same team anymore. How could it possibly be the same team?
It's the same difference as week one to like the first week of November.
Yeah, teams grow. And just because of how long the season has been, pointing at look what they did against these two teams doesn't make a lot of sense when you've played over half a season since.
That's why I think Notre Dame was playing better football than Miami, and they should be in the college football play. Oh, wait.
Wait a minute. Hold on. And they actually weren't playing better football than Miami at the time because they had a month of play.
I test. They look better.
Wait a minute. Didn't they both play Pitt? Miami beat Pitt by more?
Not to relitigate the CFP thing, which I don't even...
Yeah, you're not actually doing it.
I don't even think Notre Dame should have been in.
Yeah.
But today would be a hilarious day to be like, I still, you know, that Irish team.
I'm sure there's some people rooting for Notre Dame who think they would be in this spot too.
Yeah.
You know, they were the better team.
I think even beyond the fact that Indiana is old, I think what gets lost in it is that not only are they old, but they're a bunch of 5 and 6 year guys that have been with Cignetti and been with the program for two stops now. And, you know, they've been, it's not just like, hey, you know, team X should just go out and get sort by oldest in the portal and portal them all in. It's that you have to actually like coach and develop these guys. And Cignetti's great at talent evaluation and talent development. And he did that, all that work he did when these guys weren't older than the Green Bay Packers. You know, like he did that long, it's a long-term project than just, hey, these guys are old, just get a bunch of old guys. It's that these guys have been developed in this system, you know, or the old ones have been developed in the system for 4 or 5 years.
And I'm trying to find the validity of that stat because when I look up the Green Bay Packers average age, it says they're like 25 years old. And even Indiana, as old as they are, I saw it was like 23-something. So yeah. Maybe it's the top players for Indiana. I'm not sure how that works.
Yeah, it might just be like starters. Or yeah. Like the starting lineups for both teams or something.
But
like
I'll tell you that Miami's old, too.
Yeah.
If you look at their roster, particularly their starters, the only one who isn't a junior is Malachi Toney. You've got fifth-year seniors, fourth-year juniors across their starting offense. And then even on defense, the youngest player, if you just go by years spent playing on the college level, is a they do have a couple. Yeah, it's their one of their corners is a true sophomore. They got a bunch of third year, fourth year guys, fifth year guys. Mezidor's been around for 6 years, so yes, they're older Indiana, but it ain't like they're playing, as Gary put it, 18, 19 years old. Miami's old as hell too.
Yeah, I mean Carson Beck. Was this year six?
I think.
For him, he's been playing college football since Malachi Toney was 12 years old.
That's what they say. He's actually younger than Trinidad Chambliss, who didn't get brought up at all.
Yeah. That guy.
No one.
Dr. Trinidad Chambliss.
Who still wants to play another year, but the NCAA doesn't want him to, and now he's taking it to court. So, sure, Indiana's older, and you think they're going to win because they're older. They're not that much older when you start to look at it.
It's the fact that they're older and have been developed.
Playing for the same guy. Yeah, Miami has some transfers. Some of the receivers who are playing their first year at Miami. But now that you've played 16 games, I'm not sure it matters anymore as far as experience in the system. But that game's next Monday. We got a game tonight to talk about more and more in depth. But we'll also get to the Rockets. They struggled. Ime had some quotes. We'll hear from him when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.